following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to another episode of Corolla Classics. Happy Cinco de Mayo. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you, Gio. Thank you again for hanging out with us. This is a show where we're going to highlight some of the best moments over the last 10 plus years of The Adam Carolla Show. And we got some great clips for all of you. Just a reminder, please rate, review Corolla Classics on Apple Podcasts. Now, let's get started with some clips. Gio, this first clip, it was an Ace Award nominee from 2014. What's up?
It's episode 1264 featuring Titus Welliver, David Wilde, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop from February 2014. This is before Titus joins him in studio. David Wilde just got done telling him how much a fan of Lost he is and his work on that show. And they take some calls. This is the second caller, Wilbur. He wants to know if there's a time in history when premature ejaculation was appreciated. And Adam riffs from there. Check it out.
History lesson on Corolla Classics.
Hey, is it Wilbur?
Hey, Smith.
24, New York.
Yes,
what's
sir.
Going on?
How's it going, guys?
We're all good.
I wanted to know if you think there was ever a time in history, like before people knew premature ejaculation was that, where it was like looked at as a good thing, like premature ejaculators were of the higher in the scale of men.
Maybe there was a time when the Rubenesque women, the heavier set, curvier right. women, and the guys who came in 10 seconds were in demand.
Yeah.
Considered nobility.
The salad days.
Yeah. And it would be like
taco salad days.
Fat, pale chick talking to chubby white guy, and they'd just be going, yeah, we're the belle of the ball. Ooh, I just came.
Are you talking about the 1890s or when Tom Arnold was banging Roseanne
Ooh.
Barr?
I think that's when it ended. But I'm saying there are plenty of things. Look, lobster used to be slave food, right?
It used to be bad to be tan.
Yeah. Right. So I said white. Yeah. Yeah, like you wanted to be white.
It was hip to be square.
Being bald is once considered unattractive.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So, yeah, now we want to be skinny and tan. Before, we wanted to be zoftic and
pale.
White and pale. So if going all night is a good thing now, maybe the premature guys back in the day.
If we're to take this question seriously, I would say yes, back in maybe the caveman days or
when they needed paste?
No, when you had natural predators and the saber-toothed tigers and so what, if you want to get the species going, you got to come quickly. Get out of there before the tiger gets you. Your pants are down around your loincloths around your goddamn
right.
ankles.
Think of all the cavemen who died in the
Thank
midst of
you.
Having sex because they were so wrapped up they didn't hear the
Woolly
Animal.
Mammoth.
Yes.
That's how my great-great-great-great-grandfather went. That would be funny one, like, this is Tobar. Look, we got to get it on. Normally, I eat pussy for good. I know we don't have units of time, but like, as long as that log would take to burn, that's how long I eat pussy for. As long as it would take you to, as long as it would take you to like dry salted meat, you know, or skin a water bison and cure the leather. That's how long I eat pussy for.
Jerky time.
Jerky time is what I call it. That's how long I normally eat pussy. but I've seen a saber-toothed tiger wandering around this cave. And as you know, they do call us early man. Or did I make that up? I'm pretty sure we're called early man.
Okay.
The point
sure.
is, you would like late man?
Yes.
I mean, you'd like there to be a late man?
Of course I
there
do.
Was, I envision a future filled with wonderful wheels,
what?
Things I call wheels.
What would that even be?
I don't know, but
it
I just
sounds
just,
great, though.
Just
space,
jumped to mind.
Space heaters.
Space heaters, wheels.
You're a visionary.
Iron horses.
What?
Things like that. I'm just
I don't even know
I'm
what a horse is.
The point is this. I would like for us to do what I call procreation. So no, I know it's a $10 word, and we haven't invented currency
yet. You're so
smart. Look, let me just cut to the quick here. Like, I normally eat pussy all day long, and for as long as it takes you to gather a bushel of firewood, that's how long I eat pussy for.
That's a really long time.
Okay, but I've seen multiple. I don't know if it's the same one, honestly. I can't tell the difference myself. I can't tell them apart. The saber tooth, you know, big furry cat,
yeah.
big tooth.
To us,
hanging
they
out.
All look the same.
They all look the same. I've seen them wandering around the cave, and if we don't have sex really quick, then I can't impregnate you. You know, I'm getting eaten by a tiger over here. So I just put it in you, and just kind of, you know, and then you get pregnant, and then early man would turn into, you know, again, kind of responsible for the future, if you don't mind.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. So what you're saying is you don't have time to eat pussy for as long as it would take for me to gather firewood or cure a skin or burn a log.
But yeah, or do the whole salted dried meat thing.
Right.
Right.
So what do you have time for?
Speed dating.
I got a little head, a blowjob. I don't know what we're calling them these days. And oh, sorry, I just came on your tits. I know that sounded weird.
That's not going to help late
yeah.
man at all.
You know what? Let me go to my man cave and really think about this one. Okay?
All right.
Don't move. I'll be back tomorrow.
I'll stay in this cave.
So this scenario is exactly what I meant when I said it probably helped the species.
You're right. I think you're right.
Adam, can you do the right, introduction right. you would do on your live album for that bit?
I was doing my award-winning, highly acclaimed, and highly rated podcast with Allison Rose and Bald Brian and David Wilde. Caller called in. Can't remember the topic. Not important. Like when people bring up shit and then announce we don't need to bring it up.
And then proceed to like list all, but it could have been airplane food. Could have been toilet bowls.
Whatever it was, let's just say file it under not important. But the idea of early man and procreation with the threat of saber-toothed tigers and woolly mammothuses. Mammai, big elephants covered with hair and tusks, tusci, running around the cave, and how I would have to forego foreplay in order to get the sexual favors that I needed so quickly. Anyway, where's my auto tune?
It went a little something
it went
like this.
A little something like this. All right. Let's see. Titus Welliver's out there. David Wilde, you want to hang out and
that would be an honor.
Cup his sack when he comes in here.
Yeah.
new series, by the way, Amazon series, Bosch. We'll bring him in right after this.
And we're back. Chris and Gio here. And if you'd like to submit a request, if there's a moment from the Adam Carolla Show that you just want to hear and share with everybody else, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us, @ChrisLoxamana, @GiovanniGiorgio. Or just find us online, however you can, and let us know what you want to hear. Now, this next one is a request. This is from Dom. He's from the Bay Area, and he writes, "Guys, the first time Jay Moore did Tony Bennett, I replayed that at least 5 times. Great jobs with these classics and the show overall. Thanks, Dom. Gio, can we help him out?"
Adam Carolla Show 2149 from August 2017. It was actually released on September 1st. I forgot about this one myself. Jay Moore, Russ Roberts, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. I knew he did the Tony Bennett character, but I just assumed he did it back in like 2015. So the earliest appearance is actually 2017, and this is it.
Yeah, and Gio, this is how much he commits. Whenever Jay Moore calls me or leaves a voicemail, it's as Tony Bennett. So this guy is a method man or method actor. I guess you'd say that.
It's more
right?
of a red man.
Yeah, no, it's just I was like method man. Oh, wait, that's a rapper. Whatever. Listen.
It's more of a jizza.
Here we go.
Do you have that scene from The Specialist?
We're still looking.
Well, how about Weissmuller?
Yeah, we need Weissmuller. And we need the scene from The Specialist where he's talking to... we're looking at Tarzan. In.
That looks like Bill Hader.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm Danny Weissmuller.
They named Tarzana after Tarzan.
Yeah. Tarzana! Toto loves that song.
Tarzana. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, Droopy, it seems like you'd be singing about Tarzana instead of Rosanna.
I like to sing about Chatsworth. Usually I sing about amateur cuckold.
filmed in Chatsworth.
Well, they need a bull.
They need a huh?
A bull.
A bull?
A bull.
A bull?
Grab the bull by the horns.
A bull.
But I do the old switcheroo. They think I'm the bull, and then I ignore the lady, and I just tell the husband, you're going to learn a lesson. I'm so happy.
I know the character's been done 1,000 times, yeah. Alternative Lifestyle Droopy Dog, but this one is the best version I've heard.
Wait, who else does that?
SNL and SCTV.
Benny
Hill did one back in the day.
Frank Caliendo does
that. Frank Caliendo does a great Droopy Dog, but it's not edgy.
Alternative Lifestyle did the definitive.
No, I'm putting my flag down on this moon. That's mine.
We all had someone in our high school class that would do an Alternative Lifestyle Droopy Dog.
Kevin Spacey does a kind of good one.
Spacey does a good almost everything, but yeah, you wouldn't know.
Kevin does Bald Brian.
That's true.
He does. Jesus. It's personal time.
What if Droopy Dog did Bald Brian? What would that sound like?
You know, I can see my reflection in the back of your head.
Well, now we know who's where.
I need new tags, apparently. My phone number's rubbed out.
You learn a lot from doing Bald Brian.
You really can.
Inoperable, huh?
We'll see about that.
Yeah, but maybe you just need a nice bomb.
All right, get ready with the news, Gina Grad. I'm dying to find Rod Steiger because I just feel like you will.
We're purchasing the movie right now.
You're going to love it. Rod Steiger. Hey, it's the least we could do. All the enjoyment.
Want to hear a great? I can make it very quick. What Buddy Hackett told me, Marlon Brando told him about Rod Steiger from On the Waterfront.
Yes,
in the back of the car when he goes, come on, Terry, I had some money on you. And he goes, oh, Charlie, no, I'm a bum. He hated Rod Steiger so much because that movie's fascinating because it's like Carl Malden and Brando are the new acting of just like the next guy to throw a beer bottle is going to get punched in the nose. Like he's the cool priest.
Right.
And Brando's just like blah, like emoting all over the place. And Steiger's locked, like half the cast is locked into that. I'll tell you something else, fella.
Right.
And everybody,
22
like,
Skidoo.
Yeah. There's, I don't like the country. The crickets make me nervous.
Right.
And then in the backseat, he hated Steiger so much that when he goes, oh, no, it was because he hated what Rod Steiger was saying and the way he was acting. And he goes, no.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the dialogue. It was, look, he hated Rod Steiger's acting. So he's like, oh.
Rod Steiger was a major movie star for
what do they call you in Philadelphia, boy?
Many, many years. And at the very end, ended up with Stallone and James Woods. And
it's where everybody wants to end up.
And Eric Roberts putting on a crazy Cuban accent and maybe one of his last roles in The Specialist. And it's always, I look forward to that day in my career. You know,
where you end up with James Woods and Sly?
No, not for me. Definitely. Not for me. No, I'm going to end up playing like the coach in a reboot of Saved by the Bell. And I'll be like Coach Lehman. And I'll be 73. And I will go down in history as Adam Carolla. Yeah, he played Coach Lehman. Right? Stole the corny
that's
jokes.
That's all anyone will remember.
He'd make those jokes about his fallen arches. Yeah. And that'll be the only thing anyone
that's remembers.
Right. That's disagree with me? You can take it under the arches. Not my fallen arches. They're killing me.
Big laughs coming out.
My laugh. Canned laugh. Right. It'll be a sitcom, maybe? Three cameras?
No, it'll be what Agnes Moorehead was to us. I'm sure she was a big star of the stage back in the day and a legitimate Broadway actress and stuff. I was like, oh, that was his mother-in-law. That was Darren's mother-in-law.
That's a really good point. Like, Norman Fell was in like Ocean's 11.
Right. Norman Fell as the kooky neighbor from the Three's
Ropers.
Company. The Roper. Right. He'll end up as Mr. Roper. Right. Little of it is the era. If you end up in the 70s, it's a real disaster. But I'd love to know like the greatest example of that sort of major talent, when they're in their 30s and 40s, end up a sitcom mom in the 80s, and that's all they ever really get credit for. I mean, there are 1,000 examples, but I'm trying to think.
Agnes Moorehead's a big one, and this is something, had I known coming in, I would have had like probably 4 for you.
Specific to my childhood, but Orson Welles ended his career very ignominiously as the voice of a Transformer, the bad Transformer.
Oh, really?
In an animated film. He was Unicron, such to the point that he didn't even know what he was doing. Like, he came home and one of his last like recorded things he said to someone, like, oh, what are you working on these days, Orson? He's like, I play a horrible robot that does horrible things to other horrible robots. Like, he didn't even know what he was doing.
I like that cartoon.
When I was older, I was 7 years old when I came out. Later in my life, like, oh, Orson Welles, the guy who was the voice of Unicron was also the Citizen Kane. Oh, tell me more.
Rosebud.
That's
Voltron.
Rosebud.
Bad boss. Bumblebee.
That's a pretty good example.
That for me, for Transformers fans.
That's
the
80s. a fall from grace. Yeah, I think he used to do like Gallo wine commercials too.
The meltdown online is him doing something for peas. And he goes, every June, peas, show me how to make this work and I'll go down on you. This is an impossible copy. And it's like, you have June and you have a picture of people harvesting peas. It doesn't make any sense.
And yeah, he goes,
well, let's just try it. He goes, you're going to tell me to try it? It says peas. Shouldn't the shot be of peas?
Yeah, I love it.
It's no Lee Ilya.
All right, we'll see if we can find that Rod
Steiger
thing.
He's in the January Man, too. Rod Steiger. He's got that great rant in the January Man.
Did he ever win an Academy Award? I bet he did.
No.
Now you got to find out what he did after The Specialist. So I think he. Oh, and the other guy. Who was in Soylent Green? There's another like a guy.
Soylent Green is people.
It's like
Heston.
No, his sidekick was like an Robin. old Humphrey Bogart, not Humphrey Bogart, but like an old.
Rod Steiger won.
Edward G. Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson. One of his last movies was Soylent Green. Just weird they get in these 70s.
I liked it. Was
movies.
He in the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
That was a great casting.
Rod Steiger won an Oscar for Best Actor.
For
In the Heat of the Night.
Absolutely terrible.
1968.
I knew he'd won one.
Sidney Poitier's bad.
And how many movies did he do after Special Volume? All right, let's do a little news, and Gary will find
call me find Mr. Tibbs.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
For the first time in about 4 years, Richard Simmons may come out of seclusion. An L.A. judge scheduled a Wednesday morning hearing in the fitness guru's lawsuit against the National Enquirer. 2 summers ago, the tabloid's front cover story claimed that Simmons was transitioning into a woman named Fiona. They wrote how Simmons had undergone gender assignment surgery, including breast implants, hormone treatments, and consultation.
Hold on.
Yes.
I don't know if it was
a typo.
She knows
we're an interrupter, so she goes fast.
But it is. Sorry. Do we do gender reassignment, or they have assignment now?
This is the first time. Yeah, this is the first time I'm hearing it as assignment.
Tony Bennett just got reassigned.
But there's
I'm a lovely lady.
There's an interesting sort of loophole twist to this. So to this day, Richard Simmons, still a man, in May, he sued the National Enquirer for invasion of privacy and defamation. But here's what's crazy. The tabloid filed a motion claiming defamation should be off the table because, in their words, in these modern times, being referred to as transgender cannot rationally be held by a court to impute negative characteristics. So we're not saying it's bad. We're just reporting it.
Well, you it's reported kind of a lie, so we'll just change the language to you reported.
It's kind of an interesting argument, right. Which is if someone would have told Rod Steiger, reported that Rod Steiger was becoming a woman, he'd go, well, that hurts my career. But then you have Caitlyn Jenner, who's probably made more since this proclamation, and you can no longer say it hurts any more than you could say, I guess you couldn't say gay or lesbian so much would hurt your career.
Right.
It's an interesting counter argument that, hey, in these times we're living in the city we're living in, it's not going to.
Yeah. You're the one saying it's bad. Mm-hmm. We're not.
Right. You want to hear Rod Steiger, Jay Moore?
Yeah, of course.
Amigos, Trent, you know, the chief of police. Trent is going to work with us on this problem, you know.
Chicago Cuban.
I mean, he was a former employee of the CIA, and he's an explosive expert, and I think he can be a big help.
I don't know. This has become very public, and I'm sure you want to keep a low profile.
That's Todd Steiger's younger son.
Yeah, please, yeah.
I made that up.
It'd be hard for Ned to go unnoticed, if you know what I mean.
Good guess.
I don't know why you're laughing.
Well, you know,
goddamn,
I think there's more involved here than keeping a low profile.
I'm going to tweet about the president in 50 years.
James.
To say that I'm the one you can trust, which is the main word here. Joe.
Why does he sound like Brando?
James,
like
what sounds
talking
different?
About clean. Our bomb boys are some of the best in the world. Really, Chief? Well, I hope that's true.
All right.
I love Eric.
He looks like he's in a different movie.
I want to hear Rod Steiger one more time. Just take it from there.
Talked over his big thing.
You find a way to protect the business. Don't forget that.
Father Guido's heard of
you. Really, Chief? Well, I hope that's true.
Rod Steiger was in several more films over the next almost decade. He was in Mars Attacks. He was in Hurricane.
Number one movie.
He was in Hurricane.
When Jerry Maguire came out, Mars Attacks was number one.
Denzel Washington.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Yes.
No, sorry.
He was the judge.
Huh.
And he was also in End of Days, Arnold Schwarzenegger film. He acted a lot.
He worked a lot. He must have worked until he was in his 80s or something.
2002 when he passed away.
But never with a great Cuban accent like that.
Op Center with Tom Clancy, The Specialist, Strange. Oh,
all right.
He was in a Columbo episode.
All right, let's keep going.
All right. Well, today's American dad is slightly older than dads from decades past, according to CNN. The average age of a father of a newborn in the United States increased from about 27 and a half to 31 between 1972 and 2015. Meanwhile, a little bit more of a breakdown. Asian American dads, Japanese and Vietnamese mostly, were the oldest fathers.
What?
The study found. Yep. Their ages.
Of course, because they're the most successful. Like, when you put that stuff off, you're more successful.
Exactly.
The earlier you do it, the less successful your group is.
Yep. Upwards of 36 years old when they have their newborns. More years of education, of course, also correlated with fatherhood happening at an older age during this 44-year study period. Typically, fathers with college degrees are just over 33 when they have a baby.
Rod Steiger's last movie was Pool Hall Junkies.
That's what we remember
with
him
with Christopher Walken, which, if you guys find it, is maybe the best speech by Walken ever.
It's a good movie.
There's one swear on the edges.
Wait, better than James Woods and The Specialist when he went into the Miami Bomb Squad division and told them how it was done? Because we've seen that one,
and
that was pretty awesome.
I'll give you the first two sentences. You tell me. You ever watch those nature shows on the cable? You ever see the one about the lion?
Oh, that.
Hold on, I got it.
That one.
Oh, you got it? Awesome. This is my ringtone. Every morning, this is what I wake up to.
You watch those nature documentaries on the cable?
Impression's way off. Jesus.
Yeah. You see the one about lions? Yeah. Look at this lion. He's the king of the jungle. Huge mane out there. He's laying down under a tree.
You're going to have to do this in a second, Jay.
He's so big. So hot. He's so hot. He doesn't want to move. Now, the little lion cubs, they start messing with him. Biting his tail, biting his ears. He doesn't do anything. The lioness, she starts messing with him, coming over, making trouble. Still, nothing. Now, the other animals, they notice this, and they start to move in. The jackals, hyenas, they're barking at him, laughing at him. They nip his toes and eat the food that's in his domain. They do this, and they get closer and bolder, till one day, that lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody, runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is. It's too late to be scared. It's time to kill. I'm going to the other room. You come out when you're ready.
All right, you got to recreate that entire thing.
So good. But that
you said it's better than Rod Steiger on Helium? No, that was awesome. You want to do half that?
But I've never seen that movie.
The Specialist or the Pool?
No, the Specialist I have behind my eyelids, like Clockwork Orange. They peeled them open, they tattooed it inside. So when I close it, I see Eric Roberts with an almost mullet going, "What, are you a fan?" "What happened, Charlie? What, did she rob you? Did you smack her around?"
Eric Roberts is great.
Dice Roberts.
Eric Roberts is great because back when they made movies where guys had to be an asshole, you had to be an asshole 24/7. Like, he'd come into his house and kick a cat. You know, like, you just had to do it. And
did,
like,
you say the way the pussy was looking at me, Chaluch?
That's like he saw Stallone.
Over Greenwich Village?
He saw Stallone, like, looking at him on the sidewalk, and he's like, "Stop the car." Gets out of the car. Everyone always forgets how buff Stallone is. Like, in real life, if you saw a real buff guy standing there, like, you're a little less. He, like, comes around, walks around, gets in his face. Like, so I was like, he would be stabbed 7 times a week if that person actually existed. Because buff guys who are standing on the sidewalk and eyeballing you, they have their own space. Yeah. And when you invade it, they tend to kick your ass.
Yeah. That's why nobody bothers me and you, Ace, man. They just bug Ray because Ray's a skinny guy.
That's right, Randy.
We're buff, dude. We do incline. We're max guys. We're not rep guys.
Yeah, not rep. Max. Yeah,
I'm hammered. I can't do 12 reps. I'm drunk.
Yeah, you can't. No, but you can throw a lot of weight around.
Yeah, I like to do the pyramid. You know, you start at like 135, you get up to like 185, do that like 6 or 7 times, and then like 225, I jack that twice, and then I just put it back. I do push-ups.
What are you putting on the hack slide these days?
Hack slide, I'm up to like 800 pounds. I'm like Vinny Testaverde strong.
Really?
Yeah, he's strong. He's the strongest player of the Jets.
It's an odd metric for how strong you are.
Well, you better watch your mouth. He's Sicilian. Okay. Cut you off and feed you with a sauce.
He had a lot of lower body on Vinny.
Look, speaking of bodies, look at Gina, bro. I think I can hit that.
Yeah.
No, with my hands I'm talking about. I'm violent. When I get drunk, I'm tripping on Molly. I've been rubbing her shirt for the last 2 hours. It was Dawson's beard before I got in here. I'm glad to see you. You look good. She was all over me. But you know what? She's a virgin. She don't do nothing.
She doesn't?
She's a good kid, though.
She's a good kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe you can hook up. I don't know.
Me and Gina?
Well, yeah. I like
to sleep creep. That's my new thing.
Sleep creep.
Yeah, I like to wake them up.
Oh, like come in the middle of the night.
Like, "Oh, I'm hammered. I got the wrong bedroom." But don't keep your mouth shut. Let's get going.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, you guys just fall asleep next to them, and then in the middle
eventually,
of the night.
Yeah.
It's a sleep creep. Yeah.
Sleep creep.
Sounds like more of a sexual assault.
Yeah.
Well, some people call it rape.
Right.
Yeah, not you.
Well, not a good girl.
You call it sleep creep. Yeah.
I mean, you want to be a bad girl, go ahead. Get everybody involved.
Yeah, but how do you get into bed with them in the first place?
You go into the house and you go like, "Hey, daddy's home," you know? And they're like, "What? You're not my father." I'm like, "I didn't say I was your father. I said I was your daddy." But I'm happy. But they smell the booze on my breath. They're used to it.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
It's so a visceral
memory. It's a certain kind of girl.
Right, yeah. Right.
They know what time it is.
Right. So
they do know what time it is. It's usually about 2:45 a.m.
Yeah, and that's weeknights, yeah.
I tried to get Ray to get into it. He goes, "Bro, I don't even know whose house this is." I'm like, "Ray, this is your sister's house. Like, we all know whose house this is. Come on."
Are you working, Randy?
Am I working? A little bit. I'm doing carpeting up in Carpinteria. I thought that was kind of weird.
Right, so redundant,
I thought they were
right?
Pulling my leg. They're like, "You want to do carpeting?" I go, "Yeah, where do you want me to be?" Because, you know, I still got the van.
Yeah.
With the wolf on the side and the teardrop window. They could come up to Carpinteria. I'm like, "You know what? If you want to do jokes, go talk to Ace Man."
I was up north doing plaster work in Placerville, actually, really? Which is not the same, but it's close. You know what I mean?
That's where I left my placenta.
She left. She did, kid. No more placenta. She gave birth to that kid through the placenta out the window. Placenta.
This is where the guy in Australia just kind of
tunes out.
Tunes out about.
No,
this
we don't. The Australians they love all the local references.
They do.
Local Lima.
They like it. When I said cuckold, as the other guy, he was like, "Oh, I know what that is."
Oh, right, right.
Buddy, we need more joints in here. You can't roll a guy one joint. I'm set up for like 2 hours. Dawson's got to get his act together with that raspy voice. That's why he's hoarding all the pot.
He's hoarding the pot?
Don't ever buy grass from that guy. He takes like 3 hours to clean it on a black album cover. Like back in, I'm like, buddy, I'm good. Just give. I'll take some seeds. Let me get out of here. I got to see a Portuguese girl.
You don't mind shake. You don't mind shake.
I don't care what it is, as long as I get to inhale it or snort it or drink it. I like to party, Adam. I don't know if you know that about me.
Nah, but you like kind of everything.
I do like everything. Whatever you got. You know, like, where was I? Oh, at Bill Simmons' house. He goes, I got a Bartles and James. I'm like, well, those are my DUI lawyers. Let's get it going.
Wow. Randy. Wait, you still got the van with the wolf sticker on it?
Yeah, well, it was. Yeah, people don't know it's a sticker. You're kind of blowing my cover. I tell them I painted it myself.
Oh,
and the Latina girls, they like that. They like a man that can paint with his hands into a wolves.
Oh,
I go
right.
down to Linwood.
Yeah, down in Linwood. They do it. Yeah,
La Raza. I just yell La Raza out the window, and they're like, who's that guy?
You don't have a... Now, you used to have a Camaro with the thrush muffler woodpecker with the cigar hanging out of his mouth on
there. Yeah, that didn't end well, kiddo. That's when I got my 14th DUI. I was with Derek Fisher. We rolled it when we were going to Matt Barnes' house to take shots at his old lady.
Oh, man. It's like Fast Times at Ridgemont High when they
Palisades High. We picked up Forrest Whitaker on the way, and he's like, I want to go for a ride with you guys.
Yeah, that's smart. Randy, you do an amazing Forrest Whitaker.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
You didn't prepare me for going this, all the way up to do something else far away.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Randy, you're
that's probably the really unsung impression.
You're doing a little work. You're working
little,
up at a car.
As little as I can. I've been fishing, kiddo. Off the Venice Pier, I caught a mackerel.
Oh, you're fishing off... They say there's mercury in those fish.
They go, don't eat it. It's got mercury in it. I'm like, well, how come I can eat fish out of Malibu and then like 4 miles south, all of a sudden there's all this mercury poisoning. It's the tide. It's going to go everywhere. But what do I care about mercury? I've smoked crack. I drank Listerine. Like, mercury's going to affect me.
Yeah, you're right.
But you know what? I'm sober, though, by the grace of God.
Are you sober? What?
No way. But yeah, I don't do anything, man. I'm clean.
Congratulations.
That guy, my judge might be listening. So I'm Judge Bonaventura.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big Mama God at all hooked me up with him.
Big Mama got all knows. Oh, so she's got all. She takes care of you as well.
He's Tony Bennett's cousin.
Big Mama. Oh, sorry.
The coach for the Virginia Cavaliers, not the singer.
Right. Oh, different guy.
You know, the coach of the Virginia Cavaliers had a heart attack during the tournament. Like a mini. I don't know. He took a knee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, they had to take him out. Mm-hmm. And he was trending on Twitter. Mm. And it was like, get well, get well. Oh, my God. Tony Bennett tweets, hey, I'm okay, everybody. I'm healthy as a horse. I'll see you at the Borgata Theater on Friday night. And he got like 30,000 retweets. His next tweet was, my heart goes out to Nancy Sinatra on the loss of Frank Jr. 40 retweets.
Oh, my God.
It's okay, though. I'm all right. Why don't we go to zone coverage? And if they get up six, we're going to go man and give them 60 minutes of hell. I need somebody to box out. Fundamentals. Fundamentals. Lower your hips. That's your rebound. Go get it.
Coach, is this 22nd time out, Coach?
22nd time out. I just want to tell you guys I love you, and thanks for remembering. Now, please tuck in your shirts. I don't want us running wind sprints
Coach,
tonight.
Coach, 15 seconds. It's a one-point game.
Why are you all worried about the time? Now, that referee owes me a lot of money, so just do me a favor. Go to the rack. You're going to get the foul call.
10 seconds, Coach. Call a play.
If you don't hit your free throws, you're going to get cut through. Thank you, everybody. Who saw my Italian hair dryer?
I love it.
Tony Bennett, basketball coach.
All right.
Let's go
box three.
I love it.
He's less an X and O guy. He's more a player's coach.
I would like to be a player's coach. I treat you like men. I expect you to be on time. Football's way easier because I don't know any basketball player. Let's go to the 22 personnel. I want a jumbo, 2 tight end, 2 running backs. We need to protect Brian. If he's on his back, he can't throw.
I love it. I love that.
Where's O.J. Howard?
Whose hair is pubier? Tony Bennett's.
It's pretty puby.
Or who's the black professor that goes on Bill Maher and calls everyone Dyson. Brother.
Dyson. Cornel West?
Yes, Cornel
West. That's not pubic at all. That's
I don't know. If you closed your eyes and had to just put your hand, it's pube, Cornel West, or Tony Bennett. And I said, you just close your hand. You got to put it on this
patch.
Tiger
Woods.
I am 100% convinced that Cornel West's hair is real. I can't give you the same percentage for Tony Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
I took a trip on a train, and I went to the store to get the elastic bands for my hand.
How is it singing with Lady Gaga?
She's a wonderful young lady. And I remember when we were recording, she said something, and I said, I can't hear you.
Whenever I'm periscoping, somebody will just tweet, like, Tony Bennett doing Van Halen. The only band I'm stumped on is Bad Brains. It's impossible. But Tony Bennett like doing Van Halen, Tony Bennett doing Pearl Jam, and it's like this weird.
Mean Hofer teacher, I'm sure.
I got it bad, got it bad. I'm Hofer teacher. Little girl from Cherry Lawn, how could you be so bold? I didn't know the golden rule.
Wow, I like it better.
I like it.
Why don't you lay down? Take off your top. I swear to God, Mike Evans, if you don't run the right slant route, it takes a while to develop. Don't get jumpy. Let the wash clear out. There's going to be a pick set for you. Just have your hands open.
Tell me.
He knows his stuff.
Tell me the great thing about Mike Evans. He catches a lot of, Mike Evans is a bad example. So the great thing about Vincent Jackson, he catches a lot of passes in traffic.
The good thing about Vince Evans, he catches a lot of passes in traffic.
I'd like to know why he's always in traffic. There's a reason he's in traffic, yeah, Brad. Oh, my gosh.
Separation skills.
I know the routine for Jameis Winston at the Crab Black Buffet team.
I hit Corolla Spy.
I love it. I love Jay Moore. I am a huge,
Cornel West is, I love Cornel West, by the way.
You like the turtleneck and the ascot?
Everyone brought
whatever he does. But he, it's not puby. It's more like poodle hair.
I don't think if you closed your eyes. I'm looking to be diverse racially.
Tony Bennett looks like he coaches like Clemson 40 years ago. Like,
all right.
He looks like an old SEC coach there.
Yeah, he does. I bet he's wearing bike shorts with the double snap on it if they ever pan down.
Why do you take a knee?
Oh, that's my motivational podcast. Let me tell you. You're doing it
with my man, Hench.
Let me tell you.
Oh, no, Hench, you get the book coming out.
Yeah, I can't wait.
What?
There you have it, Jay Moore as Tony Bennett. Let's keep the clips rolling. This next one, a request from James. He writes, gents, love the show. I would love to hear the clip of Adam and Dr. Ken Jeong, who we've talked about recently. He was on on Knocked Up and The Hangover. I would love to hear Adam and Dr. Ken Jeong reenacting a doctor and patient at Kaiser Permanente. Keep up the good work, James. James, Ken came on in 2009. For one-on-one with Adam. And, Gio, you said something about it being like a inside the actor's studio.
Yeah, it's Adam Carolla Show 93 featuring Ken Jeong. They do an in-depth analysis breakdown of his character and most famous scene from the first Hangover. It's something like DVD commentary worthy, like the level of analysis and in-depth they get to how they pulled it off. And this episode was only about 36 minutes long, probably due to scheduling. And when it was originally released, it didn't get a ton of fanfare. And usually when episodes under an hour, people assumed it didn't go well. But I think this one was just due to scheduling, because Adam and Ken get along great. I was trying to cut stuff out to reduce the time, and ultimately I had to use the majority of the episode. It's just that good. So you get the reenactment that James is requesting, and then you just get a whole bunch more fun.
Here we go.
Dr. Ken Jeong. Who's Dr. Ken Jeong? Dr. Ken Jeong is probably the funniest part of the funniest movie out right now, The Hangover. Number one at the box office. Incredible, I don't know, $46 million the first week. So a lot of people who are hearing this show have seen Hangover, or I should say The Hangover, and Ken, you're the guy who jumps out of the trunk naked. Yes.
Yes, I'm the guy.
Now, the thing about that movie is it's funny, but it's almost straight. I mean, there's not a lot of over-the-top characters in the movie. In a way, I guess Zach Galifianakis is about the closest to it, but he's sort of subdued. But you're the only over the top character in what is a sort of straight comedy.
Right, right.
And you play a sort of Korean thug, or what? What exactly is the role?
It's an Asian crime lord, and who met up with. Who encounters the three guys, I think, the night before during the bachelor party, and something bad happens, and he's humiliated, and he jumps out of the trunk naked, looking to exact his revenge.
Now, I watched it, and I actually watched it at the Cinerama Dome. So technically, your cock was like 3 feet long. There's a very large screen.
The largest screen with the smallest cock.
Yes.
Turns out.
And I thought, now, I didn't know you were coming on to this show at the time. And I just thought, as an actor, how courageous, I thought. Because it's one thing to do a quick shower scene, you know, where you're nude. It's another thing to do a full-blown karate kung fu theater fight scene in the nude. And, by the way, would look like something other than a sound stage. You seem to be out in the open when you did that scene.
On location, yeah.
It's not like they block off the streets or anything, right?
Yeah, yeah. Really hard. It's impossible to do like a fully closed set, I suppose. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're just totally naked.
Yeah, I was totally naked all day.
And fighting, I mean, full frontal naked swordsmanship, yeah?
Yeah.
Swinging around like, I don't know, what'd you have, like a tire wrench?
Like a tire iron.
Yeah.
Tire iron.
And I, you know, I was thinking, and then a really, really funny character, really funny voice, which I guess is sort of you falling back on your heritage.
Kind of.
But then I was thinking, as I learn here and I read your bio, you're an actual doctor. And you start off, obviously, as a serious student.
Yeah.
And you probably come from a hardworking, disciplined Korean family.
Yep.
Not huge into the nudity.
No.
Not what you call free spirits normally.
No.
So your family, who 10 minutes ago you were a doctor, essentially,
right,
and now you're naked on the biggest screen in America, how do they feel about that?
You know, I told my parents, my dad, months in advance.
So he had time to kill himself?
They had time to do anything they wanted to do. They wanted to do Harry Carey to themselves. It's totally
so
fine.
So you're like I'm going to be nude in a movie?
Yeah. It's hard to pitch something like that even to showbiz people. So to pitch it to my dad, that context, I had to repeat myself many times. And even I made sure to call him after he saw it over the weekend to, you know, I pitched it as darker than it than actually was,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
So you hit it really hard, and then he says, "Oh, it's not that bad. You didn't have sex with anyone or something."
What it is it's like you borrowed dad's car, you went out and put a pretty good sized dent in the fender, but you call him and tell him you totaled it.
Yes.
And then when you come home, he goes, "Ah, it's just a dent."
It's just a dent. Exactly.
Well, now you jump out of the trunk of the car, and I'm assuming. Everyone, by the time this airs, everyone within the sound of my voice will have seen this. But if not, they've seen it on the commercial.
Right.
You jump out of the car, you land right on a guy's shoulders naked. And I was thinking to myself, you know, some of it is practical, other, you know, some of it is hygiene, some of it's just emotional. But were you wearing something to cover up your junk when you're essentially on the guy's shoulders, which meant your junk would have been where his chin
His neck. Yeah, no. Bradley Cooper, actually, the actor I was jumping on, he's one of my close friends, actually. So we did another movie together. It's coming out later on in the fall. And
It's called
Ken's Dick. It fucks Bradley Cooper's shoulder.
Right.
And we're trying to spin that off on the CW.
Sure.
As a buddy.
I think America's ready for
a tiny penis and an A-list show. A budding A-lister shoulder.
Well, he certainly is, and he was totally game for that.
In fact, we had dinner the night before where he said, "I heard," because it was my idea to pitch it naked to Todd Phillips, the director.
Oh, it was.
And yeah, in the script, it called for me to jump out with just my pants on and my slacks, and I wasn't thinking so much doing it nude, but I kept thinking about Pulp Fiction in the back of my head, how Ving Rhames' character was like tormented and humiliated by the gimp in that movie, and I felt like, oh, they messed with the wrong fucking guy, and at the end he just punishes him. So I was trying to think of my own kind of Ving Rhames' moment.
Yeah.
And to me, nudity was the way to go on that. But I was,
right.
I'm not like an exhibitionist by nature. I don't take off my shirt like as a gag, even like with my buddies. I'm not that kind of guy. So I'm pretty shy about my body and everything. Well, and I kind of felt the character though, just do the opposite of what I would do in real life, I think.
It definitely was effective. And like I said, coming from your sort of academic background, and I'm guessing a fairly traditional family.
Very traditional family.
And it's one thing if you grew up in Sweden and your folks worked on an organic sprout farm, but you come from an uptight culture.
Korean culture.
Probably frowned upon this, so that was pretty bold of you to suggest that to Todd Phillips.
Yeah, Todd was, and well, with Todd, it was just the only thing shocking was how quick he maneuvered to get for me to sign the nudity clause. Within an hour, he had shoved it in my face.
And also, I think the impulse for most actors would be to chub up a little downstairs. you know what I mean? Like my impulse would be, I'll give you an example. A lot of actors, before they do a scene where their shirt's off, they do some push-ups.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I could see, when I did Dancing with the Stars, you'd see a lot of those hunky dancers or actors who were doing a thing where they're just wearing a suede vest.
Yes.
And they'd be in the back doing some push-ups.
Right.
You know, so they get a little vein going in their arm. You know? I'm just saying, when you're in the trunk of the car and you're nude and, you know, you got a little downtime, was there ever that thought crossed that ever run through your mind? Like, man, I'm going to get a little bit of something.
From what I understand, I'm definitely a grower, not a shower. So that's definitely me.
Yeah, that's
but true. But from what I understand, you like if your penis was erect in any capacity, it could be an NC-17. That's what. So if for me to.
So we had that was just an R.
That was just an R. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying
that wasn't in my head, but I felt like, well, you know. And then also, I felt it would be really odd if I was with Zach, Ed, and Bradley, like
with
just
a boner.
Stroking it with a boner. Would actually make me more unconscious than to display my mangina to them, as opposed to that would make it weirder.
I would have put a little glycerin on it, just to give it a little body.
I've gotten so many emails on Facebook from people what to do. Like, I should have manscaped it to give it more visible inches. I should have done and then people are like, I've had comments from actor friends of mine. Good friends of mine said, "Oh, you tucked it in, right?" I said, "No, not really." Good job tucking it in. I said, "I kind of didn't." And then it was awkward for
the. By the way, that is the male equivalent to, "Are you pregnant?"
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, you tucked it in. No, I did not. So wait a second. And again, I don't want to spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. This doesn't have anything to do really with the plot, but at the end of the I'll try to tiptoe around this, but there is a scene or an image of Zach Galifianakis receiving oral pleasure.
Right.
With what appears to be an erect penis.
Right.
Which it was funny. I was in a movie theater with a writer friend of mine when we saw the movie, and I said, "Well, you can't show hard cock and somebody sucking on it in an R-rated movie." And he said, "Fake cock."
Yeah,
and I said, "Yeah, I guess so." Yeah. But then, who are we kidding here? I mean, like, really? Have we gone that insane as a society? Fake Galifianakis cock passes because it's not real cock, and they don't use real blood when they do a gory scene, but it still gets you a violence, right? It's not real blood. Hey, it wasn't a real cock, everybody. What the fuck is going on with our society? Like, oh, we didn't really cut the actor's head off with a machete. I know, but it looked like you cut the actor's head off with a machete, and that's why you got the R rating. It looked like Zach Galifianakis was getting his cock sucked. So, his cock was inside a fake cock. Oh.
Really? It was cock by proxy. It was just something not along.
So I could just, you know, I could
cock within a cock.
I could shoot you with a load of fake cum.
Fake cum.
And it would be totally cool. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I think we're all just, I think we're just kind of in the raunch zone shooting it. I think that's what happened.
But that was
like
fake.
None of that was in. It was like, I think on the set, we would just. If anything, Todd actually, when he directs, he's definitely like, okay, guys, let's do everything as written. Don't go off book.
Right.
A lot of dialogue. My dog and all of our dialogue was improvised, but off of a really tight script. So he really wanted to. Okay, let's just do it by the book.
Right.
Let's not fuck around.
Sure.
We don't have time. And then so we make sure we get the takes per script down. And then he was like, okay, now just kind of fuck around. And then if it's something he liked, he would finesse it. Hey, when you do this, why don't you add that? And then everyone would kind of chime in. It's like in Judd's films, you know, you would everyone would kind of chime in and collaborate and say, oh, and the tone just got raunchier and raunchier. It was just like, okay, just for fun, let's just do this and this. And we'd shot a sequence of
Judd's. You mean Winona
Judd?
Judd?
Oh. Well, no, I meant Winona Judd.
Oh, Naomi, I don't have a relationship with Judd Apatow.
I meant Naomi Judd, actually. She's
sorry. I don't work with any of the great directors of our time. I can't fucking buy my way to a fucking film.
You're the funniest guy. One of the funniest guys ever.
I know, but yet,
I beg to differ.
I think you can't get on the big screen.
You are. Well, I'm sorry. I haven't seen The Hammer because I keep hearing like it's just so good. I got to check it out.
Oh, really? Well, now you'll be disappointed.
I saw it on Ebert and Roper back in the day. I just saw a scene and they just said how amazing you were.
Oh, well, thanks.
No, sorry. If anything, I kind of kicked myself for not seeing The Hammer before I got
Ken,
here.
Well, Ken, it's out on HBO now.
So oh, is it? Okay,
just,
cool.
I don't know if you Asians know anything about home electronics, but...
We build it. We don't really watch it.
You can just go ahead and put it into your TiVo and get it hooked up. So now you're doing... Now, because your character... Yeah. Give us a little taste of the voice and the things, because it seemed like your character was saying a lot of things that seemed like stuff that you might... come up with yourself.
Yeah, it was really more meta. It was kind of more of a meta joke. I think all the stuff I was doing, it was more like so long, gay boys. It was very, if anything, it was kind of a hybrid between like maybe a Korean accent, which I am, and then a Vietnamese accent. My wife's Vietnamese.
It was sort of your character was sort of gay, but not overtly gay.
I tell my friends, my argument to that is, I actually get a blowjob by a black woman at the end of one of the photo stills. And I'm actually an Asian metrosexual, because, in fact, there are a lot of people, a lot of straight guys in Korea and Vietnam, like, they're really good friends. They'll hold hands. They're straight guys. They'll hold hands down walking down a road. And
really?
Yeah, yeah. And that's part of the culture. So it's not – so I felt he was more effete or more of a – my wife called it an Asian dandy than a – homosexual. I mean, I didn't. So, but I did, knowing that the Vietnamese kind of accent or a Thai accent comes off as more effeminate. You know, it's definitely what I was going for. But it was also kind of to show. Well, there are a lot of kind of Asian metrosexuals out there that are not gay. I think it's
easier to be an Asian metrosexual and even bisexual, and I'll tell you why. Because you people are, you know, relatively hairless, which is one of the big stumbling points. I mean,
that's the best phrase ever, relatively hairless.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Take this in the spirit in which it's intended.
Of course.
If you took an average Asian woman,
yeah,
and you took an average Asian guy, yep, and you just put them naked, yep, and you put them next to each other, there's not a massive chasm between the two physically. And I know that sounds horrible, but hear me out. Asian women, not notoriously busty, you know, so there's this little more modest in the cup size.
Right.
And Asian men, a little bit smaller in stature.
Right.
And I said, don't have a back full of hair. And, you know, what I'm saying is, like, you see, like, a Greek guy or an Italian guy or a Russian guy, you're like, oh, that fucking bear. I'm not going to get near that pig. You know what I mean? And as a matter of fact, if I was going to lay down with a man... I would definitely go with Bruce Lee over Jimmy Kimmel any fucking day of the week. even though I have fucked Jimmy quite a few times. But you know what I'm saying? You see Artie Lang, and you go, even if I was gay, I don't know if I'd suck his dick. But you see a guy like yourself, Ken, and you go, you know, I mean, we're a couple Zimas away from settling this deal. So all I'm saying is. You know, a smoother transition.
Right.
You know, so like a little easier transition. From
Ken have like these Smurf qualities.
Yeah. Like
safe.
Yeah. He's not, yeah. First off,
we're a good sexual segue to homosexuality. We're a good transition where you know, and I don't take it personally at all. I think it's part of the cultural revolution. You know, I think that I get what you're saying. I think that we're hairless. We're really tiny. Not all of us,
I don't mean tiny downstairs.
Okay, right. Okay,
but I mean
I went too far. I'm sorry.
No. What I mean is small in stature, in that it's weird when you're with a dude whose Adam's apple's hitting you in the forehead. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be the dude who could pin you down and do whatever he wanted to you if things got, you know, you start yelling your safe word and he starts laughing.
Safe word? Yeah.
And I'm guessing the gays all have a safe word, right?
I don't know. I had a safe word. I've had safe words in my dating experience. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you don't want someone who could physically overpower you,
right,
and
absolutely.
Whose cock is going to split you like a cord of wood.
Right,
you know?
If the cock has more muscles than your bicep.
Right. So... Right. I'm just saying, Asian. Right. You know, it's a nice stepping stone. It's what you call gateway cock.
It's gateway cock. Right. It's like the marijuana of sexuality.
Yeah. Not ready to go from sober to heroin.
Right.
But a little weed in between would make a nice transition.
Exactly.
It's smooth.
Yeah. Life's all about the gray. It's not black and white.
So Ken, your character was just funnier and shit, and had that high pitched kind of, you know what, you know, the voice, it kind of reminded me of the villains in Johnny Quest, where if you watch Johnny Quest, we didn't know who we were really fighting back then. It wasn't really the Russians, it wasn't the Germans, it wasn't the Japanese, it was kind of the Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And so they'd be like, yes, Dr. Quest, and it was always this weird high pitched guy with weird teeth. And that's who it reminded me. If you could just give me a Dr. Quest, so good of you to join me. Like one of those things.
Dr. Quest, so good of you to join me. You are, so you think I'm gay. I'm not gay. I'm metro. Okay. That's what you think,
working
gay boy.
Something about Race Bannon looking pretty good in those tight pants.
Oh, Race Bannon, you look so good. And I like how the butt cheek is molded onto the fabric. You have the gluteus maximus and minimus on the fabric and going, and it really brings out the cock of the corduroy. It's so good.
Yeah, see, when you said yes, Dr. Quest, it sounded like every episode
that's
of
really
Johnny
fun.
Quest.
I don't remember watching that much as a kid, so I gotta bone up on that.
Well,
yeah.
It was pretty, like, if you watch cartoons, whoever we were fighting is a country at the time.
Right, the Bugs Bunny, like the early Bugs Bunny ones in World War II.
Easy when you've got Nazi Germany to pick on. Easy when you have Japan to pick on. Now everyone's, you know, Middle Eastern because we're in it with the terrorists.
Right.
Back in the late 60s, early 70s, we're like, who do we have a beef with exactly? And then somebody went, well, how about some kind of Korean, Vietnamese, something like that.
Right.
No one's
going to
ask. They'll have sharp teeth. They'll be small and tan, and and they'll be kind of scary, and they'll have that crazy high-pitched voice. And that's what we're now watching the beginning.
That's great. But you're the first
guy
to bring up the Johnny Quest analogy to me. So, yes. Yeah, this is great. I got to check that out.
Well, I would always use it when I couldn't figure out the guy's analogy. You know, I'd always say to Dr. Drew, he'd go, well, what was this guy? And I'd go, he wasn't Mexican. He wasn't black. Johnny Quest villain. Johnny
that's
Quest
right.
Villain.
I didn't remember you. I remember your references like that. That's right.
Yeah, Donnie, I'm telling you, if you can pull up a picture of one of these Quest villains, Johnny Quest villains, it's
brilliant.
Always the same. Never black dude.
Right.
Never Mexican guy.
Right.
I don't know why. There can't be a Mexican.
Right.
And by the way, it's insulting to the Mexicans that there's no evil geniuses that are Mexicans. There's only henchmen. It's not like, Senor Ricardo, the evil genius. There's no Mexican who wants to take over the world.
It's so insulting when the Asian crime lords have Mexican day laborers that they picked up from Home Depot to do all their dirty work.
Doing their bidding for them. But if you never think about about it. Yeah. It's a white guy. It's a German guy. It's occasionally Middle East.
It's like showbiz. Crime, evil, cartoon evil is a white man's world. You know? Mm-hmm. It's really just like showbiz.
Yes. All right. So we'll find you one of the villains before the day is through.
I was still working. I did it on my vacation week. I shot it
and
on my vacation week.
And you were working at Kaiser?
Yeah, at Kaiser.
And whose bright idea was it to add the word Permanente to the end of the Kaiser sign? Because Kaiser had been around for like 63 years, and then some asshole said, you know what we should do with our hospital? We should essentially write permanent on the top. Like, you're not going anywhere. Oh, yeah, you check in. Sure, you check in, but you never check out. This is it. It's permanent. Not going anywhere. Whatever you got, taking it to the grave. The Permanente. Like,
I think your glass half empty. I think the glass half full is like you will live permanently.
Oh, you're permanently.
I think Henry Kaiser, who founded Kaiser, I felt he was more of an optimist, or unless he was just a really mischievous pessimist, you know. But I do think that he was like, you know what, you're going to live permanently. We're all going to be here permanently.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, well, we're going to be happy. You may not live forever, but you'll be happy permanently.
The Permanente got tacked on in like 1995 or something. They had made it for 50 years. Seriously, he was a shipbuilder.
Right.
And he built Liberty ships.
Right. Wow.
And we were sinking, they were being sunk. The scariest gig in World War II.
Yeah.
After your people, the Koreans, bombed Pearl Harbor.
It's Japanese, but I understand.
Whatever.
Right.
It's like admiring the details.
No, I know. I don't mean, I'm not, it's your show. I'm not trying to.
Your point is.
Right.
Whether you did it or turned a blind eye to it, you certainly were involved in some way, shape, or form.
We were involved, I'm sorry.
You're an accessory. Apology.
We started
building troop transports, and merchant marines started going over there, and the Wolf Pack started sinking all the merchant marine ships, and they'd sink, tons and tons just right to the bottom of the sea. The scariest gig in the world was being a merchant marine, and more of those guys died, sort of per capita than marines did.
Really? See, I didn't know this. You're enlightening me on this.
Well, think about it. At the beginning of the war, so many of those merchant ships were being sunk as we were trying to sort of replenish the troops in England and all that stuff, that those guys were going down faster than Marines were.
That makes a lot of sense.
And so Kaiser got into the shipbuilding business, and he started building these Liberty ships. And at a certain point, he was cranking out like one every 27 hours or something. It was completely insane. And so I guess he had, thousands of employees, and thus he started a medical company or care or hospital for all these people.
Exactly.
And that's where Kaiser came from.
That's exactly how that started. Absolutely right.
And then a scant 40 years later, here you come with your degree from North Carolina.
Right. And we tacked in 95, tacked on Permanente. And then I came here to talk about being naked in a movie.
And did you just you were just a general practitioner?
General practitioner, internal medicine.
And working for a big hospital. Yeah. They have a thing where it's like you have 8 minutes per patient, or you try to get them in and out of here in such and such a time.
About like 20-25 minutes per, I think, generally. I think a little bit more time for physicals.
What is your insider's take then on what's going on right now with healthcare and Brock talking about some government sponsored version of it and so on and so forth?
Well, Kaiser actually they've mentioned Kaiser as a model because they've done the electronic medical records there. That's like a multi-billion-dollar reform of changing everything to a paperless medical system.
Right.
And the Kaiser Foundation is a nonprofit like organization that is that funded this billions of dollars into the Permanente system, which is it's kind of separated into two different domains, and they funded putting computers in every single exam room. And
could you do this in the crazy Asian gay voice?
What they've done, they have a multi-billion-dollar corporation, the Kaiser Foundation. It's not a hospital per se. And what they have done is a channel funnel all the money into exam room, and so when you're getting your penis examined, then you find out exactly what your penis looked like on the image at the click of a mouse.
So so much better.
Yeah, I think that's better. Yeah. I think I can get my point across to the people.
You know, you have to entertain the
kids. I'm sorry. I got to bring my A game. I apologize. I was not in the zone.
If you just broke into that character when you were examining somebody, it would have been so awesome.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be, like, the worst? Oh,
it'd be the best.
God.
Now, you turn in the cough. Oh, not on me, silly. Why are you crying? I mean, that would be... Ooh, someone have a mama. And the mama is your gay.
Yeah, I think I would have been fired lickety-split if...
you know, it would be nice if as... You do it super straight. Straight as you can be. But as you're doing the MRI, as you're starting to slide into the machine, you lay down on that table, you start to slide in, you're feeling very anxious and very nervous. Mm-mm. And you're saying in your very calm voice, listen, Mr. Johnson, there's nothing to worry about. This thing. But as he goes in, you're like, bon voyage, Shaka! You just go...
Yeah, listen, Mr. Johnson. Yeah, you're not going to feel anything. It's just a painless cylinder, painless stone that you go. All we got to do is just look at every single content of your knee. You're gonna of your head. You're gonna be fine.
Okay, because I'm a little nervous about going. Don't worry about it.
Am
I going to get irradiated or anything?
No. You've had no metal on you, no pacemaker. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine. So I'm gonna start the machine now.
All right, just stay here in the room.
Just stay in the room. Yeah, okay. You're doing great. Just stay completely still, but don't move. I don't want any motion.
A little anxious. I'm scared of confined spaces.
I understand. Okay. I understand, but don't worry about it. That's why I'm here personally because. Okay.
All right. We're just going to the machine.
Doing a great job. Okay. Doing a great job. Okay. Okay.
And I'm halfway in.
You're halfway in.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty relaxed.
Bon voyage, faggot.
No!
I told you not to move.
Let me out.
You no move.
Let me
until
out.
You pay deductible. You will pay the deductible.
Oh.
You pay now.
You should have done that.
I missed my calling. I should have.
You're still time.
There's still time. I can
You're
go back.
You're still licensed, right?
I'm still licensed. I actually am. So.
Wow, what a gig, by the way. Like most actors, you know, if the wheels come off the wagon, they got to go back to Chili's and start working as a bar back. You can be a doctor. What a gig.
And we're back. Gio, I am nervous about this next one because I just ate breakfast. I don't know if I'll be able to get through it, but we got to try. This one is a listener request from John. He writes, please play the, all caps, hilarious clip where Joe Coy was in studio for Hobo Power. Now, Hobo Power is the game where callers call in and describe the worst smell that they've ever come across, and Adam and the crew rank it 0 to 100. What is the do you remember what the ranking scale is?
Well, it's changed over the years. So there was a time it was only till 50, then to 75 and 100. And basically the level of vomiting was 50 for a while. And so it's been different amounts, but 50 is considered, I believe, you have to vomit. And then I think somewhere around 75 is cat defecating on a hot hibachi, and then 100 is theoretical, is what they've gone off now.
It's purely theoretical.
This dates back to the old morning show. This is Joy's first time playing the game, and he doesn't quite get it, which Brian seems to enjoy. And the really long, protracted game, too. It's a great segment. We've actually used this episode before for the pillow shoes invention, and this is a completely separate chunk from that. I think John's going to enjoy it.
From 2015, Hobo Power.
Hobo Power, something I invented on Loveline, I think the TV show a million years ago, which is a unit of stink measurement. And we have kilowatts and BTUs and all sorts of ways.
Power, of course.
PSI. All different ways to measure everything, but not stink.
No.
And it's unsatisfying because you go, oh, God, this guy reeked. And you're like, really? Yeah, I mean, dude, this was bad. You go, or, yeah, dude, reek. But you never can assign it a number.
Every other sense has, there's decibels and there's lumens and there's, you know, the Scoville scale for spicy. There's measurement for every other sense except
the smell. One we really need it for, which is stink. So I came up with Hobo Power. Now, 50, to get to 50.
It's a 1 to 100 scale.
It's a 1 to 100. 50 is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese defecating on a white-hot hibachi. And the plume that comes off. That's 50.
That's halfway up the scale.
That's 50. Now, 100 is never been experienced.
I can tell
it's,
you.
It's hypothetical.
I have something.
Really? Mm-hmm. You have 100? All right, hold on. Hold on.
I got a good one, too.
I got something.
Now, in my world, if you get to 100, you die.
Yeah, it's like absolute zero. It can't really be achieved. It's a theoretical.
Now, if you guys are going to call in and tell me stuff that you'd like ranked higher than a 30, I need some vomiting or at least some dry heaving.
I got something
involved.
That doesn't need any of that.
All right, well, hold on. Mm-hmm. All right, well, then sit on it.
Oh boy,
Potsy! Like, until we're done,
because
I want to see if you trump these guys. First, Dollar Shave Club razors expensive. You don't need it, man. You don't need all the vibrating handles with the laser pointers and everything. I switch, you do it. DollarShaveClub.com. Amazing razors, grooming supplies, delivered for just a couple bucks right to your door. It takes 2 minutes to sign up. Never have to worry about razors again.
Ever.
Ever. That you get the handle, and then they just send you the cartridges every month or every other month, depending on what you want.
Yeah. I'm bald, and I buy those Gillettes every week, and I just go through them. I spend so much money on them.
Just go to Dollar Shave Club. But it's more the time it takes to go pick them out and find them. And DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. All right. Brian, you have an intro?
Yeah, buddy.
It's time for Hobo Power. Adam's unit of stink measurement.
Hear the mighty rush of the engine, hear them lonesome hobos call.
You give us your stink story.
Uh-oh.
And we'll rank the funk.
Yeah.
All right, Brian up here, 37. Brian, Arkansas.
Long time, how's it going?
Thank you, man. What's going on?
Doing real well. I'm a little disappointed that I'm calling you on something as, let's say, not nearly as intellectual as I like to, but I do have something that I think the stench power or the hobo stench will rank right up there for you guys.
All right. Let's write down, we'll all play a little game. Let's write it down what we think we'd rank it.
But
again,
are you the final arbiter of the number?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Like everything. But
of course.
We'll write it down, and remember, the 50's the cat on the hibachi, and I recommend some throwing up at 30, but if you have a real strong constitution, that's fine. Go ahead.
Years ago, I was an intern with the Attorney General in Georgia, and as part of that, I went through a tour of the Georgia Bureau of Investigations. As part of that, we went to the autopsy rooms, and where they were conducting autopsies on people that had died throughout the state. That room, in and of itself, was bad. But what was really tough was they took us into a room where they keep all of the bodies that are found in a state of decomposition.
Mm-hmm.
So these are bodies that are stacked up on tables that have been left out in the woods to rot for several months. They bring them in. That smell, that sicky, sweet smell was horrible.
Sweet.
But what... decomposing flesh has got kind of a sweet odor.
Something
that
when
makes it worse.
When things get really bad, they do get a little sweet smelling. Like dumpsters get sweet smelling.
Yeah, your blood is glucose and all that stuff.
Mm, all right.
Mm. What was horrible, though, is that in order to identify those bodies, they have to get down to the bones.
Mm-hmm.
They cook those bodies in industrial crock pots.
Really?
Slow
cooking. And the hands and feet, they don't want those to get mixed up with everything else because the bones are so small. So they actually have a little shelf with rows of crock pots like you would have in your kitchen with hands and feet just bubbling in them.
Mm-hmm. I just threw up in
that
my mouth.
That smell haunts me.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Boiled foot.
Wow, that's starting strong in this game.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was tough. The only thing, the stench I think would be worse, is the stench of shame if my son was to dye his hair blonde for the summer. That's it.
That's, hey, my son's doing that.
Yeah.
Well,
it's pretty bad.
Be warned.
Pretty bad.
45.
Yeah, well, see, now this is not only the hobo power, but the macabre
and
part of it, too.
I imagine this is possibly a basement room or at least an enclosed room, yes?
Not ventilated?
Oh, not ventilated at all, because they got to keep it secured. And the people that work in this room, they don't smell it. You know, they've been in so long that they're so used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost had to burn my clothes after leaving it.
Mm. I would have.
So there was the big crock pot for the whole body, and then the smaller ones for the hands and feet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they're just like crock pots like you'd see in the kitchen, and they have signs on them that say, for laboratory use only, do not use for your lunch.
Yeah.
They're like kilns.
Wow.
One of those crock pots say fruit punch.
Yeah.
So that's the one you don't want to drink out of.
That's the one you don't
want. Yeah, you don't want that one.
Mm. It was tough. It was a tough day, and it almost ruined my trip to eat barbecue afterwards.
Oh, yes, and, yeah,
this
Georgia,
close.
Yeah. Also, psychologically damaging is when you're the guy that walks in for the first time, like, oh my god, and the other people are like, what smell? Because they're so decided. That's psychologically.
Mm-hmm. How do you continue your first day at work when they show you what you have to do? Now you take the feet and put it in the small crock pots. That's when I quit. Fucking out of here. Just want to answer phones.
The person that cuts them off. Here, cut off the feet and put them in the pot.
Now this is your hacksaw.
Like you relive.
You lose this hacksaw. You have to pay for a new one.
Are you just describing the plot of Winter's Bone? Or
this
is real.
This is hurting, but. I'm going to write a number down. Okay.
I already wrote one down.
And then I'll justify it. Has everyone got their number?
Yep.
Yeah.
Joe?
I gave it an 80.
Oh!
Oh, no, no. No.
He's new.
He's new. He doesn't know how to play the game.
80 is, it will put you in a coma.
Gina?
Well, because of the entire scenario and because of the smell that you're smelling is rotting corpse, I'm going 45.
Wow. I wrote down 45 as well.
Nice. What are you talking about?
See,
what,
we're dialed
what is
in.
An 80?
We're
how do you get to 100?
I give him an 18.
Oh, no, you don't. Well, this is horrific.
No, but this is emotionally based more than it is scent based.
But, okay, so
18 makes it sound like you would spritz it on yourself.
No.
All right.
This is,
that's
this is,
lovely.
I think
this
I
place
understand.
Is well ventilated.
No, it's not.
No, he said it's not.
It is. It's psychologically, this is look, if you didn't know it was human parts, what would the smell wouldn't overtake you. The smell can't overtake
yeah,
you because the people have to work down there all day.
Rotting bodies, dude.
But you know what? Febreze will clean it right up. For sure.
Have you ever been
just
in a funeral
two pumps
home?
Of Febreze.
Or have you been in a morgue before?
No.
Because I had to do a story, and I was there, and I was watching the embalming. I almost threw up several times. It is a horrible smell.
All right, but I would argue.
I washed my hair like 8 times.
No, this is more psychological than it is a factory, I guess. I think if the smell was that thick in the place, that place needs to be ventilated, and it needs to have some movement in the air. I mean, it's a facility. You know what I mean? This isn't you going into a storage
the fact that it's a place
shed
of work.
In Nevada yeah. and opening the door and finding a raccoon
bodies.
That was stuck in a mayonnaise jar, liquefied. Right. You know, this is mostly psychological. Brian, am I 37-year-old Brian from Arkansas? Am I putting words in your mouth?
No, I think it was something that you did not vomit at. I think you're probably right. It was a lot of psychological, but that sickly sweet smell. That's
yeah,
really
I get it. But what I'm saying is if you walked into that room and you knew they used chemicals to process photos, you wouldn't have the same reaction.
Right.
Man, that stop bath is pretty disgusting, but you know it's not a rotting body.
Yeah, you wouldn't be overwhelmed by it.
But see, you don't even know what a dead body smells like.
That's my point. If you didn't tell me there was feet in that crock pot, I wouldn't be as freaked out.
Sure.
All right, not bad. Not bad.
Adam, I appreciate it. Keep up the good fight.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Joy's pissed.
Yeah, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Because you only know like 3 cents. It's like vomit, shit, and pee.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing can trump that,
no, there's
but you never smelt a dead corpse before. That's like the worst smell you can possibly smell. I've
but we've this is now in a controlled environment,
essentially a lab.
We have found we've talked.
What the fuck does that mean?
We've talked.
It's still a dead body.
We've talked to paramedics that showed up in apartment buildings in Nevada during the summer where the person had like liquefied on the toilet.
Okay.
Kind of thing. This is controlled.
You know those honey buckets, those portable porta potties?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, they put the blue fluid in there to kill the smell. It smells like fucking shit in there. That's a controlled environment.
Right. All right. I'm sorry.
Well, so
you just
mad.
He has to start.
All right.
Look,
I meant 47. I meant to say 47.
Will?
Hey, man.
33.
Get it on.
Hobo power. What do you got?
So let me preface this by saying I started dating. Well, I have an iron stomach. First off, that's something that can't ever be like taken away from me. I'm the king of no gag reflex, smells, anything like that. I started dating my now fiance about almost 3 years ago now. And when I first started dating her, I noticed she had like a half golf ball sized lump on her back. And I asked her right away. I'm like, "What's going on with your back?" And it was a cyst. It had been there at that point in time about 7 or 8 years.
Wow!
Fuck. Yeah,
I like where this is. Is this heading toward the Lansing?
Did you make a YouTube clip out of this?
You're gonna love this.
Did you video it? Please tell me you did.
No, I needed two hands. So
Joe, you're gonna have to beat off something else tonight.
Fuck.
Yeah, so it was one of those things where it was there. She said that the doctor looked at it, said it was fine, it wasn't going anywhere, had never gotten ahead or anything like that. Mm. Well, she got real sick.
She got sick. There's like, pus inside of her. What kind of doctor did you go to?
You'd have to ask her about
it's
that.
It's not
one,
going but, anywhere, isn't a positive
yeah, that's
diagnosis.
Not what a doctor yeah. says. Oh, that's just pus and infection. It's not going anywhere. She'll be fine. Go swimming with that lump on your back.
Well, did you lance it, or what'd you do?
Well, she got sick, and she used those shower tabs that, like, will effervesce in the shower and, you know, steam everything up. And after doing that, yeah, all of a sudden, lo and behold, nice white head on it.
Oh.
Nice, like, fingernail-sized white head right on it. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't stay away. And I told her, I said, you don't let me pop it.
I'm going to throw up.
How big? Are we saying golf
it
ball?
It just keeps coming out. It's
half a golf ball.
Uh-uh.
Yeah,
half a golf ball.
Half a golf ball mm-hmm. was the lump originally.
Hold on. Can I interrupt real quick? What's your name again?
Yeah.
Let's do a side thing. We're going to grade the stink, but we should ask him how long did it take to squeeze everything out?
Oh, he's not going to be able to accurately
tell. Oh, yeah, he'll know.
I was getting there.
Time stood still.
I guarantee about at least 45 seconds worth of pus came out. Just squirting out.
This is going great.
Just squirting.
So, Will, what happened? Yeah, by the way, a nice hot steam shower will bring things to a head. Yeah. Yes.
Where was that doctor's information?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, did you squeeze it or lance it?
No lance needed because the head was so great.
Oh,
yeah, so I began with full force pressure, both my thumbs, each side, arms fully extended.
Yes!
To the sound of...
Fucking triceps!
As it was shooting out for probably a good 45 to 65, 70 seconds.
Oh,
there's no way.
Yeah, no, that's true. I've seen it on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like it's like when the clowns come out of a car. They just keep coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
Yep.
She had a clown car in the back of her back.
Shooting straight into my chest hair and some into my beard hair. Yeah, smelled like the underside of a toenail, like that. You know, somebody that might have been in one of those crock pots, the underside of one of their toenails.
Just a sweet smell.
My gosh! This became a daily routine for about a good 10 days.
What?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was one of those where I would take a shower and I couldn't wash the scent off of myself.
I
would garner and catch the scent. She finally had to get it removed at that point. It was it became infected after my
clean. You mean when the bearded guy with no gloves went at it with his fingernails, their infection set in? You never hear about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We should play this game live.
Did you go for a real close shave afterwards, or did you keep the beard?
No, I've still got the beard. It's a little bit shorn down now, though. A little bit cleaner.
It stinks. I want to shave there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and it's something. You know, it's ironic that I get to be on this show this game because the other night I woke up out of a dead sleep laughing about a cat fed blue cheese for 2 weeks, crapping on a white hot stove. I woke myself up laughing thinking about you saying
thank
that.
Thank you, hibachi, so but thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I know it's a hibachi. I got that.
All right.
Wrong,
but, all right. What do we want to? We want to write down some numbers.
Three.
Now this can really smell bad. Yeah. Oh, man, I already said 80.
83.
When it comes out of you, it can be one of the most alluring smells
ever.
It's
nasty.
Oddly.
Insanely bad, but somehow can't stop.
Yep.
Yes? Okay. He's got an iron stomach.
I think I'm maybe too low. What about you guys? What do you guys have?
I feel high because I gag a lot.
Well, I feel accurate for where I'm at.
All right, well, I'm going to modify my number. All right, I give him a 41.
Ooh.
And I give him a 41 because it's sprayed on him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this smells pretty bad. There's not enough volume there, but it got in his beard.
Adam, I don't understand this game. Mm-hmm. Your 50 is something you've never smelled before.
I have first off, before I did this game, it was completely vetted. I have a tabby. I fed it blue cheese exclusively for over a week, and then I had it defecate onto white-hot hibachi, and the plume that came off of it was a 50. So I've calibrated this.
Adam said, that's a 50, and he passed out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Straight to the ground.
I choked him on a vomit, went to the airport, went to sleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Went straight to the air. Went straight to the Verizon store, went to bed.
Yep.
I give it a 41.
I only have it at a 28.
Mm.
You're fucking crazy.
I have it at a 38 because as disgusting and revolting as I'm sure it was,
listen,
there was something oddly satisfying to him about doing this and
yeah,
going through
it's
this.
Fun.
And erotic. But getting sprayed on in the beard, that in the chest
yeah,
there really
okay,
got,
yeah.
got
listen,
to me.
Listen, you guys,
you
I don't understand going? What you guys are playing because you ever pop a zit and squish it in between your fingers and smell it?
No, never
bullshit.
Once.
Bullshit.
Yes. No.
Yes. You guys are so bullshit. I know,
no.
Adam, you have.
Because
yes.
I don't
and
have
it
that
stinks.
Popping. No.
Listen.
Does it not stink?
I had a carbuncle on my ass.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
I had to look it up. I had to look it up.
And what is it?
Like a
what
fistula?
Yeah, I did do a little of that. Maybe that's what caused it. I don't know. And
what
I don't know
I do
why
now.
I have to get so personal. But, I got the fistula. And I don't know. Look up. Gary will give you the definition of a carbuncle.
If a little tiny zit stinks, mm-hmm. imagine this mega zit mm-hmm. that this man just squeezed out of his woman's back.
Mm.
This is like a million zits in one.
So what'd you give it?
I gave it 109.
You're not playing the game.
I don't
right.
know.
He would have to be, his brother would have to be calling in on his behalf in order for 109, because 100 is death.
In memory.
He yeah. vaporized. He's
yeah.
in the
yes,
ether.
He vaporized.
Okay, I get it now. All right, I'm going to say close to a 50, a 49, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
That thing stinks.
Shall we read what a carbuncle is?
Oh, my God.
A
severe abscess.
Yeah, sorry, I'm really sick right now. A severe abscess or multiple boil in the skin, typically infected with Staphylococcus
what
bacteria.
What the fuck is that?
A bright red gem, in particular, a garnet. I don't mm-hmm. think that's the
you
definition
that on
you're looking
your
for.
Ass?
I think I had that on my
I
ass.
I feel very sick.
Mm-hmm.
I.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That's very tricky lance work.
Did you get it out?
I did.
So you basically had a staph infection. It's a Staphylococcus.
I don't know what it was when that thing blew. It blew big.
Oh,
and
yeah.
because of where it was located,
yeah.
looked a little like gay porn when it was done. You know,
maybe mopped up.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's eat.
I don't see why I shouldn't keep going.
All right. Yeah. So I want to know, we have one more up here. But
we have Joe's.
Joe, I want to hear yours.
Okay. So I already talked about it on your show once before, but I never described what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this happened about 8 years ago, and there was just like a scratch. No, where are you going, Gina?
I'm actually she's kind of sick, but I at least need some
it's
air.
Good pod.
Come on,
she's
seriously.
Putting the air on. It's warm in here.
All right, so anyways, I had this scratch in the back of my...
step out of the batter's box.
Uh-huh.
I had a scratch in the back of my throat, you know, where the tonsils sit.
Mm.
I thought maybe it was a corn kernel. Like, you know when you get a corn kernel back
this
there?
Thing.
The
yeah.
little
yes.
skin? Mm-hmm. I thought it was the skin. And I mean, I'm talking about... I'd have to say about a month of me just hacking, like, sticking mm-hmm. my finger back there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and it just like, I can feel it, but it's not coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep going back there and grabbing it. I'm in front of Del Taco, and I'm about to pay.
It's worse.
Check mm-hmm. this out, man. I'm about to pay,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, this fucking thing will not come out of the back. I mean, it's ruining my life right now. I can't get this thing out of the back of my throat. I finally take my finger, and I shove it. Like, in my head, I'm like, I'm going to grab it with my finger,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to pull this fucking thing out. Mm-hmm. It was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I stick my finger in, and it pops out.
Mm-hmm.
This thing was the size of a dime, okay? It was a tonsil ball. I talked about this earlier.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
I get them all the time. I get them all the time. But this was the king fucking pin. It looked like a corn nut. You know that bag of corn nuts?
Delicious.
That you buy?
Familiar,
it even had
yeah.
a dark. It even had, like, a dark center.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a gathering of fucking food in the back of my tonsil. And it just came out like a little nugget. Mm. And I'm just looking at it. I'm like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I squeezed it. I never smelt something so fucking horrific in my life.
What number would you give it?
I fucking threw up.
You threw up.
I can't even explain to you how bad this thing
what
was.
What number would you give it?
It was wet fucking old food gathered up into a dime-shaped ball in the back of my hot throat for about a month. I pulled it out, squeezed it. I fucking threw up. Then I had to let everyone smell my finger.
You still outside of Del Taco?
I was like, you got to smell this fucking thing. It is the worst fucking... And to this day, I still pull tonsil balls out. I'll even tweet it if you guys want to see it.
Okay.
Now they're little tiny nuggets.
Right.
But I swear to God, they pack a fucking punch at them.
Gina's kidding.
Yeah, she's on the
what
edge.
What color am I?
She's on the edge.
I'm telling you, this
smell off-white.
Mm. Adam, I will pull a tonsil ball out right now and just squeeze it in front of you.
Gina's gonna,
you
Gina's
have
gonna
to smell it.
All right.
It's a combination of wet asshole with a hint of athlete's foot pus.
A dusting of I'll tell you what I'd like to do.
There's a reason why the listeners love this game.
It's the worst fucking smell you ever smelled.
Just hold on.
And I couldn't
second.
Believe it was in the back of my throat.
Who's our take an e-clip with, Gary? Sorry. John Ridley. I'm going to try to do a little.
I literally squeezed it and threw up immediately.
I'm going to try to get a little palate cleanser in. Pardon the pun for Gina.
I'll pull one out for you, Gina.
Please work on it.
I am not.
Let's do a little palate cleanser. John Ridley, who wrote 12 Years a Slave and won Academy Award, he's now on latest Take a Knee, and we'll play. Gary pulled a little clip. So you'll get a little reprieve here,
okay.
Gina.
Okay, I'm listening.
Right. This is John.
I tried to be a student, and I mean a real student, of all different kinds of writing. You know, if there's a novel that I like, I'll read it multiple times and really honestly try to break it down. The films that I like, I really go back, and you know, I was watching All the President's Men again the other day, to really break it down, not just to watch it and put it on, but, you know, moment by moment, why does this film work for me? What elements are really particular? So I think I've been a very good student of things, and I think if one continues to look at the things that they like and really question why, and to use the cooking analogy, you know, you go to different schools and you don't just learn one type of cooking, just French cooking, but you really travel the world and say, you know, why is it this region? Why do they cook this way? What does it make particular? Why, you know, are the tastes in this particular area this way? I think maybe you can continue to grow as an individual, and I hope and believe I'm growing as a writer, but only because I love writing and I love that experience of experiencing other people's writing and other people's work.
And that's how you win Academy Award, everybody.
This tonsil ball smells so bad.
I was going to tell you, I don't know if you guys know what durian is, but I don't even know if I could talk about it now, but have you heard of durian?
Wait a minute. He's
he has the painting that gets older while he says the same
thing. No. You're Hootie and the Blowfish. You're thinking of the lead singer.
Durian Rucker.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Well, a Thai fruit that smells so disgusting. It's banned all over Asia. You can't bring it into public. Uh-huh. And somebody sent it to us when we were doing our daily podcast, opened it. I threw up in the bushes. And then someone paid me like $50 to try it. It actually doesn't taste that bad, but the smell is like hot cat piss and tar and old onions.
Mm.
And it's the one thing from Bizarre Foods that Andrew Zimmern wouldn't eat.
Mm.
Couldn't eat it.
He wouldn't eat my tonsil ball. I'll tell you that much. I don't care how you grill it, how you prepare it. You can have wasabi and ginger next to it. This tastes like fucking the jam in the corner of your toe.
Ooh,
wet toenail,
mm.
and some of that like old cotton balls that you find between your asshole and your balls.
There's nothing better.
You ever smell that little thing?
Nothing better than what comes off the big toe in the corner. Yeah. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Mike, 28 Philadelphia.
What's up, gang?
What's going on?
How you doing, Joy?
God damn it.
What's happening?
I had to throw it in there. I saw the tweet. I've been walking up Broad Street. Yo, Adam, I really might be in your dad's neighborhood right now. I have no idea where I am. I'm on Broad and Jackson. Anyway.
You're in South Philly. You're in South Philly.
I'm in South Philly. I have no idea where I am.
Yeah.
Probably halfway up there. So
all I know, here's a little tip. Here's a little, by the way, tip of the cap for Joy over here. When I was walking through South Philly with Mike August, and it's like mattresses out on the street, and there's fucking trash everywhere, and the place just, I felt, for the first time ever, like, felt bad for my dad. Like, I can't believe you grew up in this piece of shit neighborhood. There's literally one street that runs down the middle of it, and we crossed the other side, and it was like, wait a minute, everything just got clean, everything just got really nice, like, what just happened? And I said to somebody, I've been walking through a fucking garbage barge for the last 17 blocks, and I just crossed the street, and everything got really nice. What just happened? And they said, oh, this is the Asian part of town. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And by the way,
all you need is a broom, asshole.
Perfectly. Hold on, shopkeeper. I was perfect.
Take one broom, sweep to the side.
Hey.
You just leave shit all over the street.
A lot of folks don't have enough money to not put mattresses
broom is
on
$11.99, asshole.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but
take broom, push to the side. That's all you need. Clean street.
You know what? You're oversimplifying a very deep problem.
Oh, weary?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
weary? Yes.
Look at my street, asshole.
Yeah, I know. But
look at my street. What do you see?
You're oversimplifying.
What do you see?
You can eat off of the...
You're goddamn right, because we use broom.
I understand, but you got to understand, there's a lot of other socioeconomic situations that are
explain one. It's brain rot!
You're oversimplifying a very complex issue.
Not over shrimp or fry.
Yes, you're over shrimp or fry.
I am not over shrimp fry anything.
Did you shrimp fry something?
Yes, we do. $14.95
rice,
full shrimp
fry,
order.
Right? Yes. You're oversimplifying a complex social issue.
Stop using a big word, asshole. Okay. You need broom!
You know what?
Sweet!
You better start reading the Huffington Post and understand why it's much more complicated than simply taking a broom and cleaning your fucking steps. Yes, I know. I know. When people turn the curb stuff into a money thing, it's like, it's not a money thing. Just go fucking sweep your street off. Yeah. It takes 20 minutes. As a matter of fact, you have more time than almost anybody to go out front and get your fucking lawn together or the front of your house together. The money thing is always like, you paint the fascia with a coat of primer. That's $9.99. You get a weenie roller from Home Depot, and the rest involves a rake and a little you doing some work.
Done.
Yes.
Clean.
Done. Just literally crossed the street, and I was like, what the fuck just happened here? And they're like, Asian. And I was like, oh. It all made sense. And then every car crashed into one another. And I could sleep like a baby that night. So you're walking through South Philly right now.
That's right.
What's the Asian street? Where's the part you cross over?
Bruce Lee Boulevard.
Well, right now, I'm in motorcycle country right now, so, you know.
Jackie Chan Avenue.
I'm sure that I should be giving...
Jet Li Street, asshole.
I don't know where I am.
All right, good. So what's the question?
Hong Kong Fui Drive.
Okay, no. It's not a question.
Chow Main Lane.
Mike.
Thanks, Joy.
Chicken Street,
so this is
dickhead.
My mobile power.
Yes, please.
I suggest to just get in the mood. I think you should turn off the air conditioning because this is about heat.
No, Gina,
no chance.
Right, so. Gina's going to blow and not in a good way.
All right, so let's go back to when let's just think about you're 22 years old. It's a hot, you're going to a big concert again down in South Philly. It's one of those bands that Adam doesn't like. It's big, it's huge. Mm-hmm. Somehow I got crazy front seat. Anyway, turning around, trying to high five my buddy, and I kept elbowing this girl in the head. And then, long story short, I end up going home with her. And I had my game used to be, because when it was the moment of truth, all the ladies used to say, or maybe they do say, I don't know, they said, I can't do this. I'm on my period. And I used to always call the bluff. I'd be like, all right. Whatever.
Yeah, I do that too.
I
cool.
Don't
I like
take
to say
it
that.
Out.
Me too. I also say this. Me too.
So I would say,
I'll pull out.
Whatever.
We'll make some Thousand Island.
That's the show, everyone.
Well, but it always
hold on, Joe's laughing. That's the answer.
What does that smell like? What do we read that way? Man-made Thousand Island.
Minimum 25.
Oh, God.
All right. That's my answer.
That was great.
All right.
He called her bluff.
Oh, fuck. Let's make gravy, baby.
You got a Reuben? Let's go to town. All right.
This is like South Philly.
Gotcha.
South Philly, June.
Call the bluff.
It's hot. It's humid.
Oh,
it's
man.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I call her bluff, and you know that 10 times before that, it never was a bluff.
She won't fuck you on the first date as a bluff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's got sunglasses on.
I called her bluff with a roofie.
That'll teach her a lot of me.
The recall might even be worse because I put my face in there, I put my junk in there, I put everything in there.
Good for you.
So anyway, that was great, and it was a good time. Uh-huh. And then, like, let's say three weeks later, you know, I had been drinking at the time. So 3 weeks later, I'm smelling like, oh, shit, I live in an old house in Philly. Maybe there's a dead mouse in the wall or something. Keeps smelling like it's getting worse. And, you know, the first 3 days you ignore it and be like, it'll go away. But it never goes away. So mm-hmm. anyway, cleaning up my room, I reach under my bed.
Oh.
And I grab this white T-shirt. Mm. And it's bloody. Mm. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Who did I kill?
Myself or something like that. So I pull it out and I open it up. Hit me right in the face in the 95 degree humid, hot Philly weather.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, the recall alone gives me nightmares. Mm. It's something. That line, it ended right there. You can't do that anymore.
Spent tampon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a big, brown, stinky, dusty tampon, all expanded and everything. I never saw one in that form before, you know?
Sure.
I saw
it. It was like a commercials.
Super soaker.
Yeah,
women are disgusting.
Where's the blue liquid?
Yeah.
That's right. It was like the blue liquid, and it expanded out, but it was dry and flaky, and it was on my face.
It looked like a mouse, but it wasn't a mouse.
Oh, it was worse. It was
all right. Thank you. I'll just declare Mike the winner.
That was tasteful.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You didn't even. No one ranked my tonsil ball.
I'm worried about Gene at this point.
Thanks. I got to step out for a minute.
I'm really just.
You didn't even rank my tonsil ball, Adam. Seriously.
All right. I'll give it a 31.
Hobo power. Smell you later.
Yeah.
It's in the back of my throat.
And there you have it. Your Sunday installment of Corolla Classics. Thank you again for hanging out with us this weekend. We had a blast. Make sure to rate and review, submit your requests, do all that, because we love getting you guys involved. Gio, where should they go if they want to hear the full episodes of these clips?
Podcast One Premium. We give you the guest names and the date it was released. You can search on the website, find the full show, listen to it at your leisure. A lot of these episodes we take the clips from. The rest of the episode is just as funny or close to it or sometimes even funnier. And Podcast One Premium is where you go to hear the entire episode.
It's that easy. Yes. All right. So we'll see you guys next weekend. My name's Chris Laxamana for Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.